Welcome to Galactic Gravy. I am your host, Misty Brown, and I'm here with two of my favorite people in the world, Eden Elderberry, also known as AJ, and Leah Garcia. Leah Dropkick Garcia. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you guys here.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I don't know what I am.
Really honest. Okay, yeah. I appreciate that about you. Yeah, so we're just going to chat about some stuff. I brought you guys on here because I think you're magical creatures and you're part of my inner circle and we are meant to do great things together. And we are doing great things together. And part of this podcast is being able to talk about those great things. So just introduce yourself. Who you are, what you do, how you're magic, whatever you feel like talking about.
Okay, I'll start. I'm AJ, and I live in a very small town in a small farming community. And I guess lately what we've done that stuck out the most is started an artist center. It's like a cooperative for the community. It's a nonprofit. And we also actually started growing a permaculture farm right in the middle of town on Main Street. So
tell everybody where you're at.
Oh, Greenville, Ohio.
Yes. So wrap your minds around that.
Yeah. So I guess we've been on an exciting journey for the last 5 years. And it's definitely gotten us a lot of attention, to say the least.
Yeah, this place is pretty amazing. How long has it been around now?
We started in January of last year. We actually started in a fitness place just on the weekends. And then within a couple of months, by March of 2020, we opened. It was the first weekend of March. And then the third week of March, we closed for COVID.
Yeah, I remember what a crazy bummer that was, because you had this amazing opening and party, and then it was like, all of a sudden, just everything shut down, and the world went crazy for a while. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that sucked really bad.
Yeah.
But you hung in there. Like, yeah. That had to be a struggle to do.
Yeah, we were a new business that survived the majority, the meat of the pandemic, I guess. So I'm sure we're going to make it. We even managed to pay most of our bills that whole time without taking out loans. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Would you introduce yourself?
My name is Leah.
Garcia.
My name is Leah Garcia. I am part of everything that AJ was talking about. I would say independently, I am a energy healer, which is also an awkward thing to do in that area. I was born female. And for the longest time, I had, how long would you say I had a beard and boobs at the same time?
Probably for about a year.
Yeah. And I feared the area that we lived in, like, so much. I felt like any place that I would go, I'd be beaten or, you know. I don't, maybe it's because I watched that movie that Big Girls Don't Cry or something.
Oh, God.
Where I had this reoccurring fear that I was going to
Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible movie.
Yeah.
So sad. Did you experience that kind of just ignorance there?
If I did, I didn't hear it. If I did, I didn't see it. Usually my eyes were down and I didn't pay attention. I couldn't. You can't. You don't breathe. You don't think, you just do. And I think that kind of messed with me a little bit. But now I have a Facebook page called Trans Like State, and I'm offering healing services to people, regardless if they had seen me with my boobs. And yeah, I guess, and so, I just wanted to share in how awkward the place is. And yeah,
I bet you've created a space for yourself to be safe and for other people to be safe. And that's just amazing to me to watch how that's come into fruition. When I first met you guys, it was through Love Shack. And I don't know how you even found me. Did you just like see me on Facebook?
Yep.
So for people that don't know what Love Shack is, it's just an event that we do that started as an inspiration, something to do after the tornadoes hit. And so healing practitioners and wellness people and artists all get together and offer services for free. And so I just put a call out there. Hey, anybody who's magical want to do this with me? And there you guys showed up. And mm-hmm. you did this awesome meditation, like painting thing. And I just fell in love with you immediately. And I found out like that you guys had the same vision that I do. We're doing the same stuff. Yeah. We got to join forces. So you weren't even doing that, like the co-op at that time.
No.
But you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, bam, all of a sudden it's a yeah. thing. And I'm like, wow, they don't fuck around. So can you tell a little bit about what the inspiration was for that place and maybe how it was born?
Oh, gosh. I think that's just something I've always wanted to do. And I've always wanted to have it accessible. There was another person that we actually started it with. Now, we did have a business called Nug Life Healing Soap before we started the co-op, and where we actually did bring artists in. And one of the artists that we brought in was someone I knew from years ago. And I'm just going to put it out there, even if someone from Greenville is listening. We went to an art class in the basement of Memorial Hall. And at the time, I was pregnant and unwed. And my friend was an unwed mother. And about everybody in the group was probably 45 to 85, I would say. And extremely judgmental, bored housewives for the most part. There's a few of them that were, you know, all right. My aunt goes and she's pretty cool, but mm-hmm. They were extremely rude, made me feel awful, made my friend feel awful. And that was the only art class that was available in our area. That's it. That's all there was. And I always thought, you know, we need to make art accessible for everyone. We need to make it to where I don't care who you are, how much money you have, what your background is. I don't care if you're addicted to drugs. Like, that's none of my business. None of that is any of my business. What I want to see is people creating art and selling art and taking art classes and just enjoying themselves. And so we started it as a part-time thing. We had several different people that were like, hey, we're going to take this on and we're going to do it together. And it never worked out. Like, things just kept happening. And then finally we just, we were called by this, this woman business owner named Nicole Loy, who had a fitness studio called Fit by Loy. And she contacted us because she heard it's something that we were wanting to do. And she allowed us to put artwork on the walls. And on the weekends, when she wasn't doing her fitness classes, we started holding art classes. And within months, a space was available and we took it. And we just made it this big like center. And so then it became a hub for the LGBTQ+ community and cosplayers and Dungeons and Dragons kids and people that wanted a studio space. They can rent a studio space there, and we have wellness stuff there now. So it just kind of grew into this all-encompassing safe space in right. Dark County.
So if you're a weirdo, it's totally cool to yeah. come there, and you will be loved and accepted.
Yes.
Can you tell us more, Leah, about this kind of stuff that you do there?
Well, I'm actually a little bit behind, but every month I like to set an intention for what type of energies I'm working with in regards to healing. Do you mean like the healing part, or do you mean like all of
everything? Yeah.
inventory, checking people out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just being silly. Really, I'm more of like a sidekick, I would say. Like, I'm
Jay and Silent Bob.
Right.
Which one are you? I didn't have to ask that.
Right? Just be quiet.
No, but just tell us about what the whole center is offering to people. Some of the different classes that you offer or events.
We have acrylic pours. We have painting meditations. We have healing circles. We have one of my favorite things is open mic night, because you can sing, you can play an instrument, you can do like a poetry slam mm-hmm. type thing. You could even act. There was this last time they had some kids, and forgive me if that makes them seem too young for what they would like, but they were doing like a comedy skit, and halfway like playing the drums and being like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. And the other person's like, well, I don't know what I'm singing. And so it was just cool. And, you know, that kind of brings more life to all of the environment, really.
Oh, totally. It's a family friendly place.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's art everywhere. There's cool things that people make. How many people do you have that are on
your members? We have about 26 members who have artwork there, and some of them teach classes.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of different styles and genres and cool jewelry and crystals. There's all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I love every time I come, there's something new. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a very creative, like, inspiring place.
Yeah, and everybody's starting to volunteer, too. So it's volunteer-led, which is really nice. So everybody that has work there is somehow contributing to the day-to-day mundane, unfun stuff, too. So
yeah. You know,
many hands make light work.
So, yeah, before we get too far into this stream of thought, because it opens up to a big picture. Mm-hmm. I want to hear the story of how you guys met, because I just heard this not too long ago for the first time, and it was really good. And so I feel like people need to know your origin story.
Okay. Well, you're a better storyteller than I am, so I might just interrupt you every now and then.
Please do. I want to see both perspectives.
Like, yeah.
That movie, He Said, She Said.
It was a hot summer day.
It was really hot.
Should I tell the whole story, or should I tell the funny story? So it was an oil filter making factory. We made oil filters, Fram oil filters. We'll just put that out there.
Okay. Now everyone knows who you are.
Yeah. And I remember the union president brought me over to this line and was like, here, you stand here and look at these and pull them off if they look funny or whatever. Whatever he told me to do, I don't even remember. And then he came back to warn me that it was the lesbian line.
Yeah. Oh, he made a trip back?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I forgot to tell her it was the lesbian
line. He's like, you need to watch out. This is the lesbian line, so.
Don't drop the soap.
Yeah. So then I was really scared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're like, ooh. Okay.
So, yeah. So this one lesbian is like super snotty. And when she walks by, she's like makes these like eyebrow faces at me. And I'm just like, oh, why is she got to be
Did you know
bitch?
She's a lesbian?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because she was in the lesbian like line. Lesbian. How far down the line was she?
Halfway.
Okay. So you got to see her eyebrow faces a lot.
Yeah. So, one day she just walks up to me and it's really, really, really loud in there. And they had been having some sort of lesbian conversation at the other end of the line. And here comes Leah asking me if they can look me up and down. But it's like really, really loud in there. Yeah. So what I hear is, can I lick you up and down? And I was like, what?
Yeah, I had to say it like three times, seriously. Yeah. I'm like, and you're yelling because you have
can I lick you up and down?
You have to wear earplugs and stuff. So I'm like, can I look you up and down?
Oh, that had to take like the magic out of it, having to scream it three times.
No, no.
You were still like trying to have a game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming it?
Yeah.
Can you like demonstrate?
No.
Okay. Leah had so much game. I used to call Leah Plea.
Why?
Player.
Leah was a player.
Oh, Plea.
Yeah, Plea.
You were a player.
Okay, what? So this conversation, but I loved them all. So it wasn't like playing people. It was genuine.
They were all
like
my soulmate.
Yes. Yeah, so then we went to a party and traded clothes and played guitar, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Traded clothes. There's bathroom.
Oh, we went to the bathroom and traded outfits.
Yeah. I need to know why.
She just asked.
Whose idea was that?
No, it was your idea.
Oh, that sounds like a weird thing you would do.
No, it was me.
Like, all your clothes? Did you put your, like, change underwear?
Okay, now get this. I have, like, triple D boobs at that time.
Dang, I never really got to see your knockers.
They were huge.
I thought you had a picture of me.
I did, but I never got to see them live.
Oh, yeah. They were better live.
Yeah. I still have that picture of you. It's down in my studio.
Okay.
It says my hero on it.
Oh, well.
But yeah, you had some good boobs.
Yeah. So AJ over here with her little tank tops, I was like busting out of it in her little pants. And she's walking around probably trying to pull my pants up and like have the shirt not be all the way off her shoulder. Yeah.
So that was that some weird like lesbian bonding thing where you just trade clothes?
I don't know. I've not done it with other ones. So
I'm your first?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's not a thing. My son told me the other day that it's a thing if you cuff your pants a certain way, that means you're bisexual. That's like a sign.
Really?
I'm like, what?
Never
kind of like
of
when
it.
You wore the earring in your ear in the 90s, if you did it in the, I think, right ear, you were gay, but it was okay on the left ear.
Okay.
Yeah, you were gay.
You were a gay.
You were a gay.
That's exactly what
I think
they
George
said
Michael
too.
Was the first one to have that.
Yeah, I remember that.
He made it cool. Everybody wanted to be a gay after that.
Yeah.
I don't know, people were shocked that he was gay.
I know.
Everyone was like, what?
Remember when Elton John came out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, yeah, and Freddie Mercury, like, come on, people. Do you not see them, what they're wearing?
Ellen.
I mean, Andrew Ridgely, it was obvious they were doing it.
Everybody that came out, that's come out. It's like.
Yeah. Not a shocker. Caitlyn Jenner, not a shocker.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we just went on a little rabbit trail there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rest is history. How long have you been together?
August will be 6 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. And you have a family together.
Mm-hmm.
And you're parenting incredible little humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are an amazing family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're teaching your kids about love, like what real love is. And it doesn't have a gender and it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't fit in a box.
Right.
It doesn't have a label. Just love.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point. Like, well, they're homeschooled, right? So they're unschooled. So, like, lately, a lot of the curriculum has been traveling. And it'll be traveling this summer and, like, just learning. We're going to teach them how to live unlike they've ever seen, you know.
Build a cob house.
There's a whole other world out there that isn't like this, you know.
Tell everybody about your plans.
Okay, so in June, the beginning of June, we're going to pack up. Well, now that they've changed, hopefully our yurt is already in Colorado, but we're going to pack up the camper and all the things, and we're going to take a trip up around the north part of the country, all the way to the west coast, all the way down the coast, down through to California, and back up to Colorado, and then we're going to live there.
How long is that going to take?
It's going to take a while.
Have you tried to figure out, like, is it weeks?
Well, I want to try to get it done in 2 weeks. So it's going to be a kind of a rush job, but we're going to do it anyway. And, and then we're going to live there. We've got a yurt that we're planning on living in. and some teepees to start out, and then we're gonna start building. Hopefully the idea is to build some cob houses. So like we saw this family on YouTube that they get like a bedroom is what they call it, but it's really their own little cob house. Mm-hmm. So eventually we would like to do that for everyone, so where they have their own space. And we're gonna be relying on solar power and just, you know, growing our own food, making all our own stuff, selling stuff.
Oh, so excited for you. And just to back up, we're all in a collaborative together called the Rainbow Collaborative. And it's an online virtual wellness collaborative. And people can become a member of it. But it's like a one-stop shop for all things ascension. You can see people there that have services. There's artists on there. There's classes. And you can, like, you know, find a massage therapist or aromatherapist or energy worker or sound healing, counseling. And we're trying to build this vision of connecting and building bridges is kind of how I describe it. And so the vision that we all share is, I've named it the Light on the Hill, but it's different for everybody. But it somehow has found a home in Colorado. And we all had that shared desire to live in Colorado. So we're like, well, we should probably do something about this. And so together we kind of birthed the Wellness Collaborative. But the big vision is the Light on the Hill. And to me, it's a hospital of light. Kind of stole that from Edgar Cayce. But not a hospital in the sense of, you know, you go into a hospital and you're all heaved out and it's like white walls. I want this to be a building that there's art everywhere. And it's created by artists, and it houses professionals in every area of healing and wellness and art, music, sound therapy, light therapy. I want it to be like the legit, this is taking care of a whole person. Mm-hmm. Counseling services, addiction services, whatever. And part of the idea was to have a commune there. And I know that word sounds like a cult. So we'll call it Intentional Living Community.
There you go.
Does that sound a little less culty?
It sounds very liberal white lady.
Yeah. So maybe I should just call it a hippie commune. Because that's really what it is, right?
I've always said I would join a cult if it was the right one. I just haven't found the right one yet.
Well, we did.
We're going to make it happen.
And just to be clear, I am not the cult leader. I have no desire to be the leader of anything. I just want to do something. And I know this is the way that we're supposed to be living. Because all of this matrix shit has run its course for me. Like, I'm done. I'm ready to exit. I have another movie that I've already written that I'm stepping into right now, and I'm over it. And so, like, let's do it. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I guess this is what this is all for, is to find other people that have the same vision, that want to connect with us, that want to give us those pieces of the puzzle, that want to share their gifts so that we can, you know, do this thing.
Yeah.
Because it needs to happen now.
It's going to happen.
Yes. Are you still having dreams about Dave Chappelle?
You know, I was going to say that as part of my introduction. I was going to be like, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're not going to let that secret out yet.
Okay.
So yeah, we got big things on the horizon, and we're really excited about where this is going, and we're learning how to step into our magic, and it's really exciting and really scary at the same time. But I think that we're all in that place where we realize, like, I'm in charge, I'm writing this, and it's time to do it. Like, I'm done fucking around, and it's just, I'm really happy to be able to be in this space with you guys and create together. So there's my mushy moment. We got your background. I want to hear a little bit about what you're willing to share about how your past or your trauma has shaped who you are and given you your superpowers. Because pretty much every spiritual person that I know, every person that's awake, and I use air quotes because that can be a stupid word, mm-hmm. but aware of their divinity, let's say that. has been through a major amount of shit and usually pretty big trauma. And that's kind of been that point where they woke up and said, you know, they kind of got the 2x4 and were like, oh shit, my whole world has changed. Something has shifted and I don't see things the same way anymore. And so how did that look like for you, AJ, if you're willing to share?
Me? I would just say that without going into too much detail, a lot of my childhood really revolved around emotional abuse, rejection, just isolation. And it went into adulthood. And for me, it's all about inclusivity. I think that's my thing is I'm always thinking about the underdog, I guess, the dark horse and all in everything. And sometimes that can be my downfall too, because, you know, you sell yourself short sometimes thinking about that, you know, the underdog, the, you know, how can I get through this the cheapest, the easiest. But I feel like it's whatever it's created inside of me has given me the ability to manifest pretty much, like, and I'm finally realizing anything I want. Yeah. Like, I didn't know that before. Like I was telling you last night, I'm like, well, I don't know what I was doing for 40 years, but I could have been making shit happen.
Do you feel like you're, like, Harry Potter with his magic wand for the first time? Like, yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I can do things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I see you guys doing that, and it is incredible. And I feel like, can you tell me a little bit about how your experience, like, because there comes a certain point where you have to make a decision about, you know, how your story is going to shape you. Am I going to be a victim because of what happened to me? Because I was unloved, because I was whatever, beaten, neglected, abused? Or am I going to use that for something else, for good? How am I going to take that energy and that pain and that trauma, and how am I going to shift it so that you're not a victim? So there was a moment for me anyway, and I think most people. When did you have that realization, or how did that happen for you?
I really do think it was about, 4.5 years ago that we did get into an accident, and so long story short, I was kind of just limited in mobility for a while. And so I had a lot of time to just sit and think and decide what my priorities were and be sober and not have a lot of outside interference and not have all these distractions, because when you're not the fun party time person, you don't have all these people, you know, knocking your door down to help you do all the things you have to do, because you can't do it yourself, you know? So all of a sudden your priorities shift. And I think when that happened, I just started realizing that I needed to claim all this shit that I've been wanting to do. Like, it's time to start doing it and quit talking about it, quit thinking about it, quit distracting myself with bullshit. And I think then we started making tiny changes all the time, and we started a business, and we stopped eating meat, and we started studying philosophy and religions and spirituality, and Leah started working on healing, and I started getting into tarot and art, and just realizing that we just didn't want to live that way anymore.
What do you think drew you to that way of thinking and seeing the world? Because a lot of people will go toward religion, or I don't know.
Do you want to know anything? Something? It's going to sound stupid. I've always kind of felt like this world is bullshit, but like my favorite movie was Fight Club.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's been my favorite movie for many, many, many years. And it's not because I like action or watching people beat each other up. It's like, that movie is all about getting out of this. It's about escaping the matrix. It really is. It's about creating your own reality. And what is reality even? What is it? Do we know what it is? You know, and then we start learning about like secondary characters in our lives and, you know, all the things. And it's just, so, you know, I think that stuff's always resonated with me all the time. And then it was just time to kick it in gear, you know?
Right. So you knew that it was true. You just were too caught up in the 3D or, you know, in your own stuff to be able to see through that.
Yeah.
So what is the Matrix to you, Leah?
That threw me off. I'm sorry. I was listening to the story a lot and then trying to also follow... okay.
So the Matrix, you're talking about the simulation that we exist in and how, you know, we're... When we're... and I hate to use the same way of speaking about when you're asleep or you're not aware that you're in a simulation and you're just, you know, doing what's expected of you by society or by what you were brought up to believe. You know, you have a job, you go to college and you get married and have kids or whatever. Your job defines you. Any of those things.
I view the entire existence of everything one matrix layered upon another matrix layered upon another matrix layered upon another matrix. Yeah. So as soon as you wake up and you pull the plug from one thing, you're waking up again and pulling it from another, and then you're waking up again and you're pulling it from another. Absolutely everything that is real and not real at the same time. And... You are sitting there looking at me right now, living your life with your experiences, and what I'm saying is being filtered through your perception of what you think that is that I'm saying, though you don't really know what I'm saying, only I know what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's the Matrix.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I was driving the other day, and I just had this crazy, this realization where everything became an energy bubble, and I realized how much I was in my bubble of existence and reality. And I'm looking at all the cars around me and I'm thinking, well, everyone in that car is existing in their own reality that's true for them. And we're bumping into each other all the time. And everybody's matrix game is completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then with the COVID stuff. That makes the Matrix game even, like, you can see it. Like, here's person A with a mask and person B without a mask, and then you can see them divert and, like, avoid each other through the, you know, it makes it look more video game-like.
Whew. Well, that, the big shift that happened, when was that? Like, I've lost
December 20th?
All time.
Yeah.
Like, concept of time. But when COVID happened, last year, right?
You're like,
I was thinking of a different shift, sorry.
Right, but that just busted the matrix wide open, I feel like, because COVID became the shadow, like the shadow of humanity, and brought up everything that we needed to heal, brought up everybody's fears, everybody's insecurities, and you had to face it because you weren't allowed to do anything. Mm-hmm. Couldn't go to work. Most of the people couldn't. Too scared to go outside. Couldn't get groceries. Like, I remember in the beginning how fucking crazy and weird it was. Like, what is this world all of a sudden? Yeah. This is what I read about in Revelation. Like, this shit's happening right now. But to me, it wasn't like, oh, this is scary. It was, oh, yeah, finally.
I know.
Like, all of these dreams that I've been having. Finally, I'm not crazy. This is real. And I think a lot of people felt that way. And they were able to see the absolute bullshit coming from the Matrix and the way that the media is handled and the way the country has been handled. And all of the, you know, the figures of the powers that be and the elite have shown their faces. And to me, this is the time of revelation. That's what COVID was. It was revelation. Things came out.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, shit, this is really what's happening right now. This is bullshit. We're not going to stand for it. And then the Black Lives Matter and all of that violence. Like, every system that exists is under scrutiny and is falling apart.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to sound, you know, like, selfish or anything. But as all of this was occurring, I sat there and I'm like, now you know what it feels like to be in my mind. Like, as things crumble and fall and you're anxious and you don't know where to go or what to do or anything like that, it's like my external environment became what my internal was, and for a brief amount of time, I was calm.
Just a brief amount of time?
Just a brief amount of time. because then people are like, ah, whatever, we'll just keep living like we were living, and, you know.
And I think people so believe that, too, like, oh, when things get back to normal. And I just want to say, well, I do say, why do you want it to go back to normal?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the way that it was fucked up. Like,
yeah.
No, thank you.
I think it could, I think maybe we should have had a worse, something bigger. I'm telling you. I mean, all you right. know, everything.
I have a confession. Because, you know, like how I was having these premonitions that were happening, and then I got this one where it was like major craziness was about to happen, and I was feeling a lot of people were picking up on that energy, and this was like not that long ago.
I think I talked to you.
Yeah.
You scared the shit out of
me. I was scaring the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I think I pick up on things that are happening in alternate realities, or maybe things that were, or, I don't know. But I was expecting this big thing, and I was kind of disappointed. So I'm like, this is the thing that's going to bust all that open. Mm-hmm. Like, we need it to just one last kick, and it's done. And then we can move on and start rebuilding, because, you know, it's crumbling. And I think that people are running scared. And I don't want to get into all the conspiracy stuff, because,
right.
you know...
But I think
it's not about fear, it's about awareness. And I think people are waking up to, like,
yeah,
there's some bullshit going on, and I've been lied to for a really long time, and now I'm going to think for myself.
Right. I just think it, slow change is probably better. I think slow change is more lasting change. So when the things will happen and you won't even notice it. And then people will look back and be like, oh my God, we used to do that. I can't believe we allowed that. You know, just like we do now.
Yeah.
When we look at the 60s. We're just like, oh my God.
We'll be like, remember when we had to call each other on the phone before we had telepathy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Like,
remember when we had to move our mouth to talk? So stupid.
Remember when we used cars?
Yeah.
Now I just teleport over here and do some art. Yeah. It's pretty nuts. But I feel like things are starting to lift a little bit with the spring, and I feel like there's a different kind of shift, and that gravity is just kind of lifted, and I'm feeling like I'm able to breathe a little bit more, mm-hmm. and there's a new energy coming in that I'm just riding right now, that it's like, whew, it's that rebirth kind of energy, the manifesting energy.
We have a giant magnet. That's the way I feel right now.
Yeah.
It's pulling us to the mountains. Like, I literally feel them when I get close. I'm like, my car's going too fast. I gotta slow down.
Don't laugh at me, but sometimes I pretend like I'm driving around here, and I pretend like there's mountains around me. Aww. And I can actually see them sometimes. Because mm-hmm. I want to just bring that feeling in, because I need to be there. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the same, about how your background has shaped and created your superpowers, and, you know, what point were you able to take the trauma that you've experienced and turn it into your power and help other people with it?
Well, I think I've had just kind of a combination of things that can happen to a human being, maybe. I don't know. There's some awful things out there. Summary. I guess I'll go with that.
Do it. Whatever you want to say.
So, born, neglected child, pawned off onto other family members, molested by, like, uncle, then sent back to mother, who's like a narcissistic alcoholic, who pretty much hates you because you had attention from family more than she did when she was younger. Raped by a brother, so incest, molestation from men that she would be with, possible rape. A lot of my memories are like blacked out. Told on all of these crazy people. Then our family was kind of ripped apart, which, you know, was for the best. But I was kind of like the mother to my sisters. but I was sent to what do they call it? MC4C. So it's Madison Center for Children. And that was in South Bend, Indiana. I lived there for like 2.5 years.
So when did all of this start? When did you first start experiencing that abuse from your family?
Birth.
Oh, okay. When was the sexual abuse starting?
Probably then. I'm not trying to be like pessimistic or whatever, but a lot of the stuff that I've learned about my family throughout time is they were continually repeating to rape and beat and debilitate each person that was in the generation.
So you weren't the only one experiencing
no.
that?
No. It was just a way of living.
And can you talk about how you were able to cope with that at such a young age?
You don't. You go away. You kind of just do it. Parts of you start to believe that you're actually supposed to live like that. Like, I thought I was in a relationship with my brother at one point.
Well, that's all that you knew.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anyone to model anything different for you.
Yeah. So you just, you shift, you adapt, you're like, okay, well, I guess this is how life is. But then certain things happen that are too traumatic, that are too overwhelming, and then it shocks your body and your mind out of even accepting that you're in a relationship with a sibling. You're like, no, fuck that. That was too much. And I have these images, and I can remember the amount of pain and suffering in those moments that made me realize this is not something that should be done to another human being.
Do you remember how old you were when you had that realization?
6 or 7. Oof. Because the fondling and the kissing and the, you know, like, you kiss and your mouth is a little bit open and people just call you like a creepy uncle and whatever. Those were things that I had found acceptable. I was like, when I kiss you, your mouth is going to be open. It's kind of weird, but I'm used to it. You know, you grope me when we're swimming and, you know, stuff like that. I'm used to it. But certain events would take place that I'm like, that's too much. I'm like severely afraid and my entire being is changing more so than anything I've known before that.
When were you able to escape that?
There was this thing called, what was it?
Oh, wait. So do you want to go back to the center? You were talking about how, when you were how old? 16?
13.
13, you got sent there?
Yeah. And there was, you know, when you live in the ghetto, how they have like the red lunch truck that comes and gives you sandwiches and stuff like that. They had Notre Dame students who were volunteering their time at this place, and I can't remember what it was called, but I had left one of my journals for them to read, and it had all that stuff in it. So then I can't remember time exactly, but like CPS was called. So then I was sent to this place called the Casey Center, and then they have like a mirror and they ask you questions about, oh, did they touch you here? Did they touch you there? What is this? What happened this day? And I just told them a bunch of stuff, and then they sent my sisters to foster care, and then they sent me to the institution.
Why? Why did you have to go to a mental institution?
Well, the story that I had heard was I was 13, so that's an age that is undesirable, and my siblings were younger than I was, and they just needed to place me somewhere. Another story that I had heard was that I had a lot of anger, and I can identify with that. Like,
well, fuck yeah.
I was a bully. I used to like punch walls and break shit and all that stuff. But so I can align with both of those things being true. But then also later on in my relationship with AJ, so just recently, found out that Madison Center was sued for taking in children just because they were on Medicaid to use the funds in whatever way. But almost sued because it didn't. I don't understand.
Shut down.
Yeah, I don't understand those things very well. But
How long were you at this place?
I was there for like 2.5 years.
Holy shit.
So I went from having a narcissistic mother who was like on my ass all the time, telling me how I was supposed to feel, who I was supposed to be, like judging me, saying that I liked, you know, my stepfather fucking me, and like just off the wall shit, to this place that then tells you if you're good, you can leave. And so I'm trying to behave, and they have you on this fucking like stages or phases or whatever. You have like, and the medication that they gave me, I'm not happy that I had it because I think it fucked with my brain a lot, but at the same time, kind of happy that I had it because there's a lot of things that I don't remember. And I, the phases, like phase one, phase two, phase three, transition one, transition two, transition three. So I'm stuck in this fucking like loop of if I'm good enough, if I'm worthy enough of, you know, just showing that I'm this not crazy person and that I can be a citizen of the United States, you know, whatever the fuck it was, that I could then leave.
This ties into what happened in the living room earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that?
I'm telling you, everything is connected, and I completely totally understand the web.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it makes sense why you would feel that way.
So it's like just day after day for fucking years.
You felt like you were in a show.
Yeah. For people. Because you had to. You had to. Shit. And so then you had to
You had no identity.
No. And then you had to deal with like the staff members that work there that are not qualified to work there, that are fucking the patients there and having like internal relationships and shit. And you're trying to just stay in your own zone and not piss off the people who are crazy who are there or the staff members. Because, they fuck with you too. They'll get you like pissed. They'll poke at you. They'll be like, they'll just say shit just because they know that you're, they know you. They can look in your chart right. And be like, this is what triggers this person. And they'll fuck with you and you'll get so mad. You'll want to beat the shit out of them. You, like, that's not something normal that should happen to a person. And then they'll call a code. I think it was like code blue or red or something. And then they'll fucking strap you to these chairs or these like beds that roll, and then they'll shoot you with some shit to make you pass out.
Oh my God. I can't believe that happens still. That's the reality. I mean, what fucking century do we live in where our mental health system looks the way that it is? To just come in and get over medicated and you don't really talk as a about child.
They put me on fucking Seroquel. Yeah. When I was 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's like heavy duty shit.
Yeah, that's for like bipolar, isn't it?
That's an antipsychotic. Yeah, psychotic bipolar, yeah. Yeah, it's an antipsychotic.
That makes people drool on themselves.
Yes, I would pass out. I would stand up and then I would be on the ground.
Yeah. It's that shit you take like not an hour before you go to bed. You like take it and go lay down because you're going to be fucked up.
Yeah, I used to work in a mental health place for severely mentally ill people, and they were on all of that. And they would just be, like, sitting up asleep with drool coming out of their mouths. Like, they couldn't stay awake because they had to take this medication to, you know, so it didn't interact with the other medication. And it's just really sad that you get traumatized in a place where you're supposed to be healed.
Yeah. And then they'd lock you in this, they call it the quiet room, where it's like white brick.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. And there's this blue door with just a glass thing, and you would just bang on the fucking door for like hours. And they'd yell at you, shut up! And you're like, fuck you! And just, damn. It was just this divide.
So how did you adapt from that being your reality? And then you come out of that place into the world, and
I didn't,
you were faced with, this is who I am now.
I didn't leave it. The psych nurse that worked there said that she wanted me to be part of her family, and somehow she was able to take me home. I didn't leave it.
So was she manipulative and controlling you?
In ways that I don't think she would even identify with today, I think. She needs help in her own ways and her entire family, really. But I mean, I needed help too. So they were just another whatever they were, as I was whatever I was.
Did you have a bad experience when you were with them?
Was it just a lot of the same things, kind of having to prove that you're part of the family, doing things in the way that they see fit. And then if you don't, well, then you're not part of the family. Certain people would be like foster children in addition to me, and like they would make fun of them like in the living room with everyone sitting in there, like making fun of them. And I would see like it caused them pain. And they didn't care. They would still just do it. I mean, I don't think that's really good.
Well, no, that's... most of our trauma comes from how fucked up our childhoods were. And our parents, who also were dealing with their own traumas.
Yeah, and they tell me that, like...
God, your story is probably the most, like, mind-blowing that I think I've ever heard in my life. And what blows me away about it is who you are now. Because when I first met you, and even now, obviously, but you were just love. You were just kind, open, and you just...
Well, not on testosterone, though. That shit will fuck a life up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not regulated properly. Like, I had a doctor that was like, okay, I'll help you. I know about it. But he was giving me, like, 200 milligrams every 2 weeks. And so, like, the first week, I was, like, this raging dude. And then the second week, I teetered back to, like, my feminine side. And he was like, look, I found a new life. I'm going to China.
I'm Chinese now.
Yeah. And so I had a fucking ghost doctor. I don't even know who it was. I didn't even know their name. And I kept getting this medicine for, like, a year. So I'm going through this every other week for, like...
Oh,
like a long time.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just, and to me, because we had that accident, I thought that I was just going to be a dick for the rest of my life and I would have to try to like unlearn it. Like after I had
it just comes with being a man.
You know what? Certain amounts of testosterone, yes. I will agree.
I'm just kidding. I'm not a man hater.
No. I'm agreeing. But yeah, I thought I was just going to be a dick because of the accident that we had. Like, I broke the maxilloid cavity in my face on the right side, so I had some like not like a moderate brain injury, but like some. You know, you can't have that happen to you and not be affected in some sort of way. So like, I had a little bit of issues with staying calm and being kind. Like, I would say things and it was rude to other people, but I'm like, how? Like, I just didn't understand how it was rude or how I was being mean. Had to do a little bit of speech therapy and trying to read out loud and make sentences that made sense. Still a little bit anxious about talking, but it's good.
I think you're rocking it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to be vulnerable.
No.
And tell your story. But I really feel like those of us that have gone through major things... traumas, abuse, things like that, and are able to come out on the other side of it, I feel like we have a responsibility to share how we did that so that the people out there that are in it, that are lost, that are like, I need a lifeline, they could hear our story and they could know that we have a safe space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To offer them. Because there's people that really believe that they're completely alone.
Yeah.
And all they need to do is look up.
Yeah, they're not alone, and there's more of us out there, and there's going to be more and more and more and more. Like, there's, you know, the way that we are, and the love, and the caring, and this new way of life and thinking is just going to get bigger and bigger. Like, it's gonna explode.
It's gonna catch on.
Yeah,
fast.
It's gonna be the coolest.
Like the pet rock.
I guess if there is one thing...
It's going to be a sleek look. Sorry.
That's funny. If there's one thing that I could add to that, though, in this process of healing, is we really have to be kind to ourselves. We really do. Like, that's, like, the most important thing is to love yourself. Not in the way that you think other people think what love is or whatever, because it's different to everybody.
You mean, but not, like, pose in your yoga pants and... posted on Instagram with your latte, and that's not self-love?
I don't know. It could be for someone else.
I'm not. To you?
Oh, to me?
Yeah, what does it mean to love yourself?
what I've learned is just being honest about the way you feel and what it's connected to, regardless of how fucked up it is. That's how I love myself, is to be like, you know what? The way that you looked at me at that moment made me feel like I was going to die. And it's dramatic, you know, to some people. It's attention seeking to others. It can be a million different things to everyone else. But to me, the reason why I'm saying that is because I love myself. It doesn't matter what it means to anyone else.
So you're loving yourself enough to give yourself permission to have a voice and to speak your truth without caring if anyone else gives a fuck or if it offends anybody else, because it's not anything to do with anyone else, really.
And until it is. And what they are doing and what they are doing that is triggering me has nothing to do with them. I, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's equal. Like, yes. I'm fucking crazy over here because this happened, but please realize that you were just doing whatever you were doing. Unless you were looking at me the way that you were looking at me on purpose because you wanted me to die. Then we have a different situation.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
Know? Yeah.
But we're bumping into each other's triggers and each other's crazies all the time. Mm-hmm. And in a relationship, I think that that could be the most beautiful and frustrating, but opportunity for that growth. I mean, that's what relationships really are. It's not about, you know, let's get together and because you make me feel good or I like being around you or whatever. To me, it's like, okay, we're going to trigger each other. And I'm going to show you everything that you need to heal about yourself. And you're going to show me everything I need to heal about myself. And we're going to do it together without killing each other or blaming each other or running away or doing stupid shit that humans do, like cheat and, you know, yeah, lie to each other and betray each other, like,
yeah, not be authentic.
Yeah,
I think it's really important if you are healing in a relationship that you take the time to sit down, shut up, and allow the other person to speak and realize that what they are saying is meant for you, regardless of if you align with it or not.
Oh, yeah, that what we did something as a family a few times that really worked out.
Oh, yeah.
So that you're not doing it in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have a time, like it can be dinner or after dinner, whatever time you designate, and each person has to speak for a certain amount of time.
3 minutes.
No one is allowed to interrupt them or even respond. So when it's your turn, you're not talking about what that guy just talked about. You have to talk about what you're thinking about. There's no responding to each other's thing.
Well, at the very end, you can ask that person, you can say, hey, may I speak about, like, what you were talking about?
Yeah, and then, after everybody's
everyone
that totally
is done.
Takes, like, that diffuses everything.
Yeah, and if
that's cool.
If they say no, you're not allowed to be, like, you know, shitty.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
So does it go as planned? Do they follow the rules? Do you guys follow the rules?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to get one of them to talk.
There's finger pointing.
What?
Yeah, we
and your face got really red.
It's funny. It's funny.
I did my best.
Yeah, she did.
Just
her best.
Think about the kids that, are though. Cute and they say stuff that's funny.
If people would just shut the fuck up and listen, most of the time the problem would just get solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And realize that whatever's being triggered within you is something that has nothing to do with that person. They're just the mirror.
Yeah.
They're just reflecting to you what needs to be healed. And something that I've been doing to reframe my shit and my trauma is I've been looking at it through a different lens where I say, well, whatever that person did or whatever they were experiencing or they did to me or whatever, how they perceived that to go down was completely true for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was their reality and it can't be right and it can't be wrong.
Yeah.
And so same for me, the way that I saw that was from a different perspective for fucking sure.
Yeah.
But it's completely true for me. And that doesn't make that person wrong. It doesn't make me right. It's just my perspective. Mm-hmm. So if you can like apply that to all things.
Yeah.
You know, then you wouldn't be fucking offended every time you get on Facebook.
Right. Yeah. It's
like, oh, well, that's true for that person.
Why is it got, yeah. Why you gotta be so fucking serious?
What does that have anything to do with me?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. So that's
not the takeaway. Everything's for you.
Oh, gosh, I know.
Let's do everything you want to do.
So I want to hear about what your mission is. I believe that with all of the gifts that we have, each person has, they culminate and then, like, there's a purpose that you have, you know, your divine purpose, something that you're really passionate about, your mission. What would you say that is for you, AJ? Or maybe you're still
growing. I think it's really just to get out of here, to get out of this, get out of what's considered normal to, I'm not going to be political, but, you know, the whole capitalism thing, that, you know, anarchy doesn't have to be a bad word. Anarchy doesn't mean we're all standing there with guns pointed at each other, you know, just waiting for somebody to make the wrong move. That's not what anarchy is. But you don't have to call it that. You can call it whatever you want, but whatever it is, it's what we're doing isn't working. So I not only want to find that for myself, what does work, but that I want to help other people find that too and create that space. Because I know other people are doing it too, but, you know, if we were able to get this light on the hill going to where we can invite other people in on it and be a light for people, whether they join us or they see us and then they do it, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it takes to usher in this new life, this new way of looking at things. And if some people want to keep doing this, do it. I am happy to feed off your scraps and watch you scurry around like a, you know, like a little animal, you know, getting your, you know.
Aw, who would throw this away?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Aw. Oh, I'm the queen of picking up furniture yeah. off the side of the road.
Yeah.
Got a whole garage full of it. What about you?
I was like, please, please ask me. Because, like, I felt like my body was, like, channeling. And I was like,
you know. Interrupt at any time.
No, no, no. Okay, so. Mine is to bring what is above and below to the center. Now, most people think that the center of the body is the heart. They want to live and love and all of those things. When you asked that question, my mind said to bring what is above and below to the center, as in like the solar.
Oh, yeah. That's the seat of your power and your will.
So when you integrate what is divine and what is earthly into that, you are authentically yourself. And this entire podcast has pretty much been that.
Yes. Preach. Oh, you just gave me chills. I love that. And that's exactly what we're doing here on this earth. And that's what the Matrix is all about. It's this video game that we have to hack through all of these different realities to realize that we're really doing this. We're the ones in control. Mm-hmm. And you can choose to be done with the simulation that, you know, they're playing out like the Truman Show. And make your own. But I just love that we all share in that desire to be that safe place for people. And, you know, it would be easier sometimes, I think, to just join with another group that's already doing this. But they keep saying, nope, nope, this is the vision. You've been given this for 20 years. And these are the people. And, like, for me to be able to watch all of these pieces coming together, like the foundation, we have the foundation. And so now we're just putting it out there, like pixie dust, like Mary Poppins' letter, you know how it goes off, like I put my list on there, and now we're just gonna wait for it to come back. But I feel like for me, my mission is to organize things, to be a bridge. And to help people that are lost find their power again. Because I know what it's like to be there. I've gone through all kinds of crazy. And, you know, compared to you, Leah, not so much. But it's been my own kind of crazy, and I am an expert in my own kind of crazy, and that is all.
Well,
I'm not an expert in your kind of crazy.
I view learning as never ending. So, I mean, you can learn from trauma, you can learn from happiness, you can learn from love. So I don't do... I, in my life, have felt uncomfortable when people say, not as much as you. And I know that you mean that from a respect point, but at the same time, like, we are one. So someone could just say they don't like your outfit and it could hurt you just as bad as me getting punched in the face by my mother. You know?
True.
It's
all perspective.
Yeah, it's...
I like that Kabbalistic thing that we learned about things that upset us, about, like, if we could pick it up, a specific person. I don't like it when Misty makes fun of my shirt, because it makes me feel angry. I don't like it when the light makes fun of my shirt, because the light hurts my feelings or whatever. And then all of a sudden it becomes a challenge. So all of the things that hurt you, all of the things that are your trauma, you can look at as those are things that are here to push you wherever it is that you need to go. And you're learning a lesson. And Leah's lesson, yours is just really profound.
Been in school for a long time.
Well, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on this, but I am of the belief that we assign, like, create sacred contracts when we come into this incarnation. That we kind of agree, like, this is what we're going to come here in this body to learn for this life. I need to learn. I'm going to learn forgiveness. I'm going to learn humility.
Yeah, see, I had that conversation, like, yesterday, and I was like,
oh, is that why you're looking at me weird?
Did I really sign up for all of this, every little thing,
or
was there, like, a bundle? Was it, like, bundle number one, you get forgiveness, bundle number two, you get, you know, like, how did it really go?
Do you think you were laughing?
Was I laughing when it was happening? Probably. Probably. I was like, yeah, give me that one.
I'm going to take this so seriously. Watch.
Yeah, you picked the accelerated bundle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to believe that. I mean, shit happens to us. And I don't believe that that's any, you know, all our fault. It's not our fault if we get raped or abused.
Right.
But did we know? Did we sign up for that?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like a lot of the stuff that's happened to me since I've been, you know, at a certain age, I did bring on myself. I did. And where did that shit come from? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It came from somewhere, and I know I brought that. So maybe it was from before, you know?
Right.
Maybe before I came onto the earth, I already had all this planned out.
Well, I just want to express those things. So even in whatever stages that we're at and we feel accomplished in our things, there's always more. And you may reach a point where you feel like everything is just fucking fantastic, but then something can happen and you may not fall as low as you did the time before because you've done this amount of work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just trying to be authentic in the fact that I'm still on this journey, and just yesterday I was having that conversation.
Well, obviously, if we were ascended beings, we wouldn't be sitting here.
True.
Right?
Right.
We'd be, whatever, teleporting to Colorado or Peru.
I don't know.
Where would you go if you could teleport?
If I could teleport?
To space. Where would you go?
I would go to the beginning of time. Is it time-wise or just place?
No, it could be time, too. Okay. I wasn't really thinking that way, but that opens up a can of worms.
I might just go back to the further bus or something.
Right.
It's easy.
You're like,
just a further bus.
Just want to have fun.
Just ride. Oh, you don't know about the further bus? Have you ever heard of the electric Kool-Aid acid test?
No.
Oh, my God, that's a whole other podcast. You got to read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it is. The Merry Pranksters. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So, it looks like we've been on here for a little good over an hour.
Oops.
No, I feel like I could talk to you guys forever. I want to have you guys on individually so that we can get a little bit deeper into, you know, who you are individually, what you do, what your thoughts are on certain things, what you're passionate about. because you are so multi-layered and just the coolest people. And I want people to know about your magic.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's been so awesome. I love being your friend.
Oh, same here. So tell me, or tell everyone that's listening out there, like all 49 of them, where to find you, what you do, what kind of services that you provide. Tell them about your magic.
Okay, so we have a center in Dart County, Ohio, called DCMC, Center for Universal Artisans and Humanities, and we spoke about all the things that we offer there. You can find me on Facebook through there, or Eden Elderberry at Eden Elderberry Card Reading and Intuitive Advisor.
I'll drop a link of the podcast. Yeah, their links will be on there.
And of course, one really easy way to find all three of us is at the Rainbow Collaborative website, www.rainbowcollaborative.com, or the Rainbow Collaborative Facebook, or the Rainbow Collaborative Instagram, or the Rainbow Collaborative Twitter, or the email that's on our website.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the government knows where we are. We're like, hey, I'm over here. I'm kind of doing that with the aliens too, so hopefully they get to me before the government does. What about you?
My brain was just going really fast, and I was like, are they one of the same?
Well, you know, the reptilians, I don't think they came from here.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
So tell us about your magic, your services, and where we can find you.
Well, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I do some sound stuff, some crystal, and then hands-on healing. I do distant healing, and I've not done this for anyone yet, but I started something where someone could tell me what's going on in their life, so we'll have, like, a consultation. And then I would find, like, gather materials and come up with a meditation that would fit their specific needs. And then I would place what crystals they would need that align with their ailments, and then do distance healing at the same time as that. But that's described in the Rainbow Collaborative thing, so I don't want to get too much into it. And then what else?
How can people find you?
Facebook, all of the Rainbow Collaborative stuff. I have my own page. I'm not really the best with technology. So, like, if people liked my stuff more, that would be cool, just because.
But your
it's
Facebook
called
page?
Trans-like State. And it's linked to my Facebook page, which is...
Not the, trans, but trans-like
trans,
state. Yeah. T-R-A-N-S.
Yeah. But.
And do you go through sessions online or via Zoom?
Well, actually, we're going to start like a collab thing between the two of us. So, you book a session to have a tarot reading, and you know, those get in depth and they it works with your subconscious
especially
mind.
Especially the game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. So after having a session with AJ, you would then, spend some time with me, and I would help bring more, like balance and harmony to whatever emotions were pulled up or mixed. So we just want to be like a, you know.
Dream team.
Yeah. Back in the day, I said four hands are better than two or something like that, just being weird. But
I told the kids that this morning.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's a sign.
And I think we should tell them about Love Shack and the self-care Saturdays. Do you want to?
Love Shack and or Self-Care Saturday are typically on the third Saturday of every month when Misty's not out gallivating the countryside doing other events with the bowls and everything. And Love Shack is free. And then every quarter we'll have one that's a fundraiser that people pay $1 a minute. It's typically going to be your same group of providers, and it's all going to be at 311 South Broadway, Greenville, Ohio.
Yeah, so you just come out and you get to experience a lot of different wellness services for free and get educated and connect with people that are cool like you, or learn about things that you don't know about. It's a great way to meet people, just to ask questions. If you're waking up and you're like, what the fuck's going on here? Yeah, we got you.
Or just being in that energy is awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I do sound healing there. And so I have my bowls and my thunder sheet going, and then there's massage and we got Reiki people, and just, it's awesome. And there's art happening. It just feels great. And yeah, so we have a lot of stuff going on there at their center. And then I do lots of classes too. I do a Divine Feminine group that's actually tomorrow. We get together once a month and talk about shit about the Divine Feminine.
Yeah, definitely. Two thumbs up on Divine Feminine. Yeah. I've learned a lot. I've only gone to like maybe half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned so much.
Yeah.
It's just a safe place to get together. In that female energy. And it's not even a gender thing. It's just that divine feminine aspect, how we need to start healing that and how we're using that to transmute this energy and really, you know, bring the shift in. And I do individual sessions, sound healing. I got a gong recently, so I will blow your mind.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's otherworldly. And yeah, I got some stuff happening. So check us all out. We're pretty cool people. And together, I think we're even cooler. Yeah. You can find me on Patreon. I don't have any of that stuff in front of me right now, but I'll drop a link in the comment section. And there's different tiers that you can support me and my crazy endeavors and my vision that I have. And you get cool stuff from me and artwork and sessions and whatever. So check it out. If you feel like being generous or you have a rich uncle, don't forget about us little people and the vision that we have. That's really everyone's vision. So thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been really fun. I think we should do this quite often.
Yeah.
Because we always got stuff to talk about. For sure. Any parting words? Lay down some, like, wise advice for people.
Somebody else go first so I can think more.
Like something from a fortune cookie.
No,
you're not allowed to think about it. Just, like, do it first thing that comes to your mind.
Be kind to yourself. Don't work too hard. It's important to enjoy all of life's situations. Even though most of them may seem unpleasant, just try to remember that you're learning.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Your lucky numbers are 3, 17, 42, and 81.
Yeah, I like it. Be kind to each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's from Wayne's, or no, that's a, what's the one? Bill and Ted. Be kind to each other, dudes. Isn't that their tagline? Or be, what was it?
No idea.
I think I fucked it up.
It's all right.
Oh, well. It's be something to each other.
Why no? What is it now?
Hippies say
be rad. No, it's not rad. Well, now I've got to go look it up. So, yeah. We're going to just say goodbye. Leave that awkward moment hanging in the air.
Yeah, to learn the answer.
Podcast music.